Now, we're going to be joined by today's guest, Paddy Fahey from the... He's a chairman, actually, of the Natural Health Alliance. And how you going, Paddy?
Good afternoon, Craig.
You hear me all right?
I can hear you. Good.
Excellent. And you're up in Tamaki Makaurau. How's it up there today?
It's not too flash. It's... a bit overcast with a bit of rain, as usual.
Yeah.
Four seasons in one day in Auckland.
Yeah, it's a bit like that down here today. It's been beautiful spring weather, hasn't it? Very changeable spring weather the last sort of week or two. Yeah.
It's quite common, though, right up till probably early December when you think about it. So I suppose we whinge about it, but it seems to be constant.
Yeah, it is what it is, right? Yeah. And you, the chairman of the Natural Health Alliance. But I guess firstly, Paddy, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and things like that.
Well, okay, I've been in the industry for probably 35, nearly 40 years.
Yep.
I've studied all the health sciences.
Mm-hmm.
I've travelled extensively around the world. I'm on a number of boards and committees in the industry.
The industry being?
The natural health industry.
Natural health, okay, yep.
Yeah, I've been involved in manufacturing as well, so I've got an engineering background, so I'm pretty up with the play of what's going on in both the pharmaceutical industry and our industry. So.
Okay, yeah.
It's pretty broad.
Yeah, okay. And you got involved with the Natural Health Alliance, and when did this start, Paddy?
Oh, the Natural Health Alliance has been going for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
And we've been involved with government submissions and select committees for a number of years, so pretty old hand at dealing with bureaucrats.
Right, yeah. And why did it spring up in the first place, do you remember, Paddy?
Well, are you referring to
the Natural Health Alliance?
Yeah. Oh, the Natural Health Alliance. Yeah. Oh, that was basically a group of companies that got together to look at the dietary supplement regulations way back in 1985.
Mm.
And then in the early 90s, the Ministry of Health had this great idea that they wanted to incorporate dietary supplements and natural health products into a regulatory regime alongside pharmaceuticals. So this isn't new.
Right.
They've been trying to initiate this for a number of years, and every time we have to go into to fight to stop it, because there's no way that natural health products should be regulated alongside pharmaceutical medicines.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I'd imagine, like, our grandparents' generation sort of thing, it just would have been what they actually went for, just growing in the garden or whatever, right? So, yeah, it seems unusual how that all be chucked under the one umbrella to me.
Correct. And we've survived the centuries without having to deal with pharmaceuticals. And, look, there's nutritional deficiencies, but there certainly isn't drug deficiencies. So what it is the mentality of bureaucrats in the Ministry of Health who obviously go through university and get a degree in pharmacology or whatever, and believe that anything that looks like a medicine that should be regulated under a pharmaceutical regime.
Mm.
So that's the problem. It's a mindset. It's an ideological mindset, obviously, where you've got people with these ideologies, and it's just nonsense, of course, because dietary supplements or natural health products are more aligned to food than they are to medicines, and that's why they were under the dietary supplement regulations for 40 years.
Mm.
We haven't had a problem for 40 years. There's never been a death attributed to a dietary supplement in New Zealand on record.
Mm.
Yet, if somebody becomes unwell and they're on a number of pharmaceutical drugs and they're taking one dietary supplement, then it's the dietary supplement that caused the problem.
Right.
So this is what you're up against. It's all propaganda.
Yep.
And submissions and that to government over the years have proven this. You've probably got more chance of getting hit by a meteorite than dying of a dietary supplement. But in saying that, look, we can't live without water, but we can drown in water. Anything taken to excess, well, it's up. The onus is on the individual.
Yeah, personal responsibility and all that in there. Yeah, we'll get into that a bit more later on. But so what kind of people or organisations or whatever are involved with the Natural Health Alliance? Paddy?
Mainly small to medium-sized businesses.
So these would be growers, like growing garlic or whatever?
Yes, and manufacturers. We do have a number of large manufacturers as well that export.
Yep.
It's quite a vibrant industry, as you can appreciate. People want to take responsibility for their own health and well-being.
Yep.
And they don't need to be told by a nanny state that this is what they have to do and this is what they have to take.
Mm.
So this is the big problem, and people we're just tired of it, and they wear you down. Bureaucracy wears you down, as you know.
Yep.
But you just got to keep on pushing. You know, you've got to push back because it's just nonsense.
Now,
what happened, of course, is that the probably jumping the gun here, but the therapeutic products bill that was introduced in Parliament way back in July.
Okay, so that's this year, Paddy. This is following on. We'll go into that then. Because in 1981 there was the Medicines Act passed. Correct.
Correct.
Okay, and in that the natural medicines were not included or were included?
No. They came in 1984.
Okay, and that got added to the Medicines Act of 1981. Did they?
No, they didn't.
Right.
They have been separate. Right along, probably till about probably 5 or 6 years ago, when MPI, which was originally food safety, passed them over to MedSafe because they didn't want to deal with them. But what a lot of people don't realise,
what was behind that thinking, Paddy? Do you know?
Oh well, look, the MPI obviously is a world leader. Most people don't realise that MPI New Zealand is a world leader in food technology and auditing and so on. And I think that MedSafe probably pushed that that they could look after them because it would be an opportunity for them down the track to bring them under medicines. So I think that there's obviously been some, I'd use the term skullduggery because in today's environment, a lot of this nonsense goes on.
Mm.
And I think that that's what has occurred. And MPI, although in saying that, Food Safety New Zealand, way back in 2007, we're looking at upgrading the dietary supplement regulations 1984. So a lot of work had already been done.
Mm.
And that was in anticipation of the joint agency with Australia, which was would have been another nightmare because it was a treaty in international waters. You know, this is just nonsense what's been going on over these years.
Yeah.
People have no idea what these governments have done in the past or tried to do in the past and are actually doing right now as we speak.
And so these legislations, I mean, what are the real impacts on your average Joe and Jane on the street out of these, Paddy?
Okay. What will happen, of course, is that the cost of regulation. So let's just talk about regulation for a start and then we'll talk about Mary and Jane. To register a product now in Australia, and I'll use Australia as an example because this is exactly what MedSafe want to do. They want an empire like they've got in Australia under the TGA.
Now, TGA being?
The Therapeutic Goods Administration
right.
in Australia. Okay,
right.
That's basically the equivalent of MedSafe here.
Right.
But keep in mind that they've got over 20 million people there and we've got just over 5 million here. Now, to register one single product in Australia, it's $1,000. So if you've got a vitamin C product, it's $1,000 a year to register.
Yeah, okay, that sounds excessive, but all right. Yep.
Okay, so if you've got 50 products, that's $50,000. And if you've got 100 products, that's $100,000 and so on.
Mm.
For what? for nothing. It's a tax. It's basically a tax on the product that is not causing any problems and hasn't caused any problems for many, many, many years. Mm. So it's actually 100% cost recovery to industry. So in Australia, they've got 400 staff in Canberra to look after the pharmaceutical industry and the natural health industry.
Yep.
And 96% of that, of their income, comes from the pharmaceutical industry, and the other 4% comes from the natural health industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's 100% cost recovery to industry. So you can imagine the cost of the fees. Horrendous.
Mm.
So they want to duplicate this here. Okay. So what will happen now with Jane and Mary, we'll get to there, Jane and Mary, because a lot of companies will not be able to continue to stock those products. Because if they're not selling enough of those products, especially if they're imported, to make a profit, then they'll have to cull a number of those products. So what will happen is that the person on the street will have a diminished supply of product, and they'll have to get it from overseas. Now, what will happen, of course, is that Amazon and iHerb and those companies, big multinational companies, can import product into New Zealand, and those regulations won't cover that. That's how stupid the whole thing is. So a company can bring in product from overseas and they will have to register it here. But someone, Joe and Mary, can buy a product on the web, have it delivered to their door, and there's no cost to the company that's sending it to them.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about products here, Paddy, I mean, what are a few examples? Like I heard, I was talking to someone about this, and they said, like, even using garlic or, you know, whatever, you know, your few garden herbs or whatever as, you know, as a medicine, you won't be able to sell that. Is all of this, is that really how it is, Paddy?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, so definitely, because, you know, garlic in a capsule or vitamin C. And, of course, we can't live without vitamin C, as you know, that we don't produce vitamin C in our body and we have to get it from an exogenous source. So if we don't, and it's not in the, most of it's not in the food chain. You know, oranges that you see in the supermarket, a lot of them contain very, very little vitamin C because they're picked before they're ripened. And they've done tests on vitamin C that had basically oranges that had zero vitamin C.
Right.
They inject colourings into them to make them look good on the supermarket shelf.
Right, right. These would be all, I guess, Californian oranges, you know.
Well, yes. Yeah. You'd peel the skin off and it's about... The orange is about half the size.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, yes, those sorts of things that people have been using for years and years and years are not going to be available. And companies aren't going to be innovative because there's not going to be the market for them.
Okay, and I guess, you know, what can, you know, your average person kind of do about this sort of thing, Paddy?
Okay, well, regarding the Act?
Regarding the Act, and, you know, well, my initial thoughts there are straight away, you know, if individuals or communities or whatever got together and actually grew a lot of these things themselves on a smaller scale, right? That could kind of work well.
Definitely, and a lot of people are doing that already, Craig.
Yeah.
A lot of people are doing that already, and my advice to them is good on them, because we need to get back to basics, and we don't need to be told what we can and what we can't do. I think that's where things are these days, is where you've got politicians who think that Joe Public can't think for themselves, and they need to be told what to do, what to eat, where to sleep, and so on.
Yeah.
So the one of the things about the Act itself now is that it was ran through Parliament. And I think that that's what people need to realise. It was ran through Parliament, and it's actually given one person total control, one single regulator, the ability to make decisions at random. Now, that's very, very, very dangerous because...
Yeah, it does sound a little dangerous, that kind of thing, yeah.
Well, the bill itself was passed through Parliament because, obviously, Labor had the numbers to do so.
That would have been... So, that was... What year was that? Did it get passed?
July this year.
Oh, this year, wasn't it? Yeah.
This is very recent.
So, I guess, who's that? That's Labor and the Greens, right? And New Zealand First, exactly. Obviously.
Labour and the Greens, definitely.
I'm kind of surprised by that. I guess the election's coming up, so we'll get a little bit into politics, I suppose. But, I would have thought the Greens, personally, would have been kind of against that kind of thing.
Exactly. Disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to use the term disgusting. They're not a Green Party at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I haven't got on the air here to have a go at the Greens, but seriously, they're not a Green Party at all. Actually, they're called the Watermelon Party, so
right.
Is it all.
Yeah.
Just getting back to the bill itself. Now, what that means is that the Ministry of Health hoodwinked, I'd use the term, the government to pass the bill in its current form. Now, the details haven't even been filled in. So what they're saying is that we've got a blank check, basically, to put in there whatever we like. And That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
It doesn't sound like the way things should work, for sure, Paddy. Yeah.
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? And this is why we've been pushing back against it, because it doesn't benefit anyone.
So I guess, apart from growing your own stuff and things like that, Paddy, I mean, what else can folks do about this? I guess what I'm trying to do here is raise awareness about it for the good listeners in Whangarei, Raglan, and throughout the Waikato coming out of Free FM and things like that. So, I mean, what can folks actually do about this, Paddy?
Well, people down in the Waikato and surrounding districts and that are very resilient and at growing a lot of their own herbs and stuff. But what we're trying to do is get the government to repeal the Act. Get it out of Parliament. We don't need it.
Yep.
What we've been doing is contacting all of the parties, or we did contact all of the parties. I wrote to them all and asked them what their statement was. I received one response, and that was from Mr. Hipkins, who then referred it on to the Minister of Health. So
right.
It was a wasted exercise, of course, but no one has a problem with the Therapeutic Products Act being upgraded for medicines and medical devices, okay?
Yes.
It was old, and it needed to come into the 21st century. We agreed with that. But it was only last November that we were informed that they were going to include natural health products in the Therapeutic Products Bill after we had been promised, and I use the word promised, by previous governments, both National and Labor, that they would never include natural health products under a pharmaceutical regime.
Something's changed pretty quickly then there, Paddy?
For sure. This has been pushed by the Ministry of Health bureaucrats. That's a given, and I've told them so. They don't like me, but that's okay. You don't keep on these people's toes, these unelected bureaucrats, then they will walk all over you. So it's pretty tough that you're having to fight your own people for something that should never have been introduced in the first place. Dietary supplements and natural health products should be removed, but the whole bill itself should be repealed because it's so overreaching and overarching that it's unworkable.
Mm.
Now, The Minister of Health was asked in Parliament by Shane Reti from National how many extra people would be required to run this agency. And the Minister of Health said 150. Well, if you think about this, they already have 150 staff that look to register or regulate pharmaceutical medicines.
Mm.
That's 150. So the Minister of Health said they need another 150. Now, there's a newsletter that was sent out recently by MedSafe saying that they're going to need three times that.
Right.
Well, if you think about it, those three times that they're talking about is to regulate natural health products, because they're already regulating pharmaceutical products and medical devices for the 150 staff.
Yeah.
So you know where I'm coming from?
Yeah. They're certainly creating work for themselves.
Yeah, creating a bureaucracy.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Jobs for the boys and girls.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I don't know, is there a petition going around or something from the Natural Health Alliance about this, Paddy? Or?
You know something, Craig?
What's that?
Governments don't even look at petitions. You know, you can get petitions till the cows come home. The governments these days just don't even look at them.
So where does that leave your average citizen then, Paddy?
Well, you know exactly where it leaves them. And you can see what's going on in the current environment. There is a petition going around that has a number of signatures on it, but the point that I'm trying to make is they don't look at petitions, they don't care. The modern government is not about justice at all. It's very scary, to tell you the truth.
Yes, it's going to take some sort of revolution before this sort of thing changes, Paddy, but that's kind of beyond the scope of of today's discussion. But
For sure.
Thanks very much for coming on, Paddy. Really appreciate that. And, is there anything else, any final words you want to add before we leave you in peace?
No. I'm just saying that we want the bill repealed, and the only party that has said that they would repeal it if they became part of the government is New Zealand First.
Right on.
So that's what we've been behind.
All right, good as gold. All right, well, thanks for your time, Paddy, and any updates, let us know, and we'll go from there. But yeah, thanks again for your time coming on the show. Really appreciate it, Paddy.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, thanks, mate.
Have a great day.
Yeah,
bye.
You too, mate. See ya. All right, folks, here we are. That's Paddy Fahey there, the chairman of the Natural Health Alliance.